Good morning and welcome to this compulsory acquisition hearing for the Port Talbot Power Station project. My name is Roger Eyre. I am the examining inspector and I have been appointed by the Secretary of State to be the single appointed person that is examining this application. First, please could I ask you to make sure that your mobile phones are set to silent or preferably turned off, please. Thank you. May I also introduce those members of the case team from the Planning Inspectorate who are present today. Beside me is Tracy Williams, the case manager. Steve Parker over there is handling registration. And we also have with us today Helen Lancaster, who's a senior EIA and lands rights advisor. Before getting down to business, I need to cover the procedures in case of an emergency. I'm advised that there are no planned fire alarms today, so if one should sound, then please exit appropriately through the emergency exits, which are clearly marked to our right and to our left, and then please congregate in the car park behind me so we can account for everybody. As you're probably aware, toilets are located just outside the room to my left. You're all very welcome, and I will ask you to introduce yourselves in a minute. You will see from the agenda that there are no breaks scheduled, but I may suggest a short break if necessary. An audio recording, which will be the only official record of this hearing, is being made, and this will be made available on the Port Talbot section of the National Infrastructure pages of the Planning Portal website. With this in mind, there are roving microphones. If you could wait for one of these before you speak, and then if you could state your name, who you represent, if you are a representative, and then speak clearly into the microphone. Before asking you to introduce yourselves, can I inquire whether there are any journalists present today? No, thank you. Can I also inquire whether anybody intends to record, tweet, or film these proceedings for their own use? No, thank you. I'm conscious that today we have two hearings, and so I'd like to ask those present around the table who wish to participate in this hearing, the compulsory acquisition hearing, starting with the applicant, to introduce themselves, please.
Good morning, sir. My name is Duncan O'Connor from Pins & Masons, solicitors for the applicant. I'm here today with my colleague on my left, Sheila McGregor, and on my right, Ben Lewis from GVA, who are the planning consultants to the applicant, and Guy Sims from Tata Steel.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak? No? Thank you. After these opening remarks, I will ask whether there are any requests to question a person making oral representations directly under Section 94 of the 2008 Planning Act. Purpose of the hearing today. I am conducting this hearing in accordance with Sections 92 and 94 of the Planning Act 2008 and the Infrastructure Planning Examination Procedure Rules 2010, specifically Rule 14, relating to procedure at hearings. You are reminded that Section 94(8) of the 2008 Planning Act allows the examining authority to refuse to allow representations to be made at the hearing if they are considered to be irrelevant, vexatious, or frivolous, relate to the merits of policy set out in a national policy statement, repeat other representations already made, or relate to compensation for compulsory acquisition of land of an interest in or right over land. Rule 14.2 requires that at the start of the hearing, the examining authority shall identify the matters to be considered at the hearing. The agenda for today's hearing was published on the project website on the 19th of February, and there are further copies of today's hearing agenda at the registration with Steve Parker, should you need one. We will follow this agenda today. I should remind you that written summaries of the case put orally by parties at this hearing should be submitted to the Planning Inspectorate by deadline 4, which is Thursday, the 5th of March. Are there any questions on procedure? No, thank you very much. I recognise that some of you are probably aware of this, but I feel that it is worth repeating that the examining authority is required to establish that the land is required for the development to which the development consent relates, and that it is required to facilitate or is incidental to that development. The examining authority is also required to establish that there is a compelling case in the public interest for the land to be acquired compulsory. The revised Department for Communities and Local Government guidance on the Planning Act 2008, guidance related to procedures for the compulsory acquisition of land issued in September 2013, sets out requirements on the applicant in respect of compulsory acquisition. These include, but are not restricted to, advice that the applicant should be able to demonstrate to the satisfaction of the Secretary of State that all reasonable alternatives to compulsory acquisition have been explored, including modifications to the scheme. The applicant will also need to demonstrate that the proposed interference with the rights of those with an interest in the land is for a legitimate purpose, and that it is necessary and proportionate, and that the applicant must have a clear idea of how they intend to use the land which it is proposed to acquire. They should also be able to demonstrate that there is a reasonable prospect of the requisite funds for the acquisition becoming available. We've now dealt with items 1 and 2 on the agenda, introductory remarks and the purpose of the hearing and introduction of the interesting parties, so I'll now move to agenda item 3. Request to question a person making oral representations directly under section 94 of the 2008 Planning Act. Does anybody wish to ask to do this as distinct from simply addressing their own case? No, thank you. Moving to item 4, report from the applicant on the position in respect of the current status of negotiations with affected parties. I would like the applicant to go through these plot by plot, giving details of the status of each negotiation, please.
So the applicant's in discussion with Network Rail regarding the acquisition of rights over plots 107 and 204, which are the only plots over which powers of compulsory acquisition are sought. The applicant and Network Rail propose to enter into an agreement which will allow for these rights to be granted by agreement. And we received a copy of the draft agreement from Network Rail yesterday. So we're currently considering that, but we would expect the position to be settled shortly. I can give you an update, although not subject to compulsory acquisition, I can give you an update on the position of party whose rights could potentially be affected by the scheme, although, as I say, this isn't strictly subject to compulsory acquisition. In particular, there are a number of statutory undertakers whose apparatus could be affected, or whose statutory functions could be affected. Welsh Water have a sewer running through the site, and protective provisions with Welsh Water have now been agreed and just in the process of being formalised. A set of draft protective provisions have been returned to National Grid for their comments. And a set of protective provisions have also been returned to Western Power Distribution. That was over a month ago, and we are still waiting for WPD to respond and did chase them last week, but haven't yet received a response. A set of draft protective provisions is also in circulation between the applicant and ABP.
Thank you. I've now moved to agenda item 5, all representations from affected persons present and or formerly represented. I'd now ask for all representations from affected persons present and or formerly represented. May I remind you that these may include the issue of protective provisions insofar as they have not been dealt with at the issue-specific hearing on the DCO that was held on the 12th of February. I had expected the following party, in addition to the applicant, to be present today, and that is Network Rail. However, PINS received an email from them yesterday evening advising us that they had been in discussion with the applicant on the agreement and that they would not be attending. So in the absence of the only affected party and in the absence of any confirmed agreement yet to be confirmed on the agreement to be drawn up between you and Network Rail, I'll move on to the other items on the agenda so that we have a record of where we are should agreement not be made. And I'd like to call upon the applicant to move through those agenda items to make sure they're all covered, briefly if you would, just to make sure that we establish that the land is required, that there's a compelling case, that you've looked at alternatives, and that if you are seeking to establish rights, that they're proportionate in reference to the European Convention on Human Rights. And so finally, if you could also address agenda item 10 regarding the requisite funds for acquisition, should it be necessary.
Certainly. Plots 107 and 204 are needed for the proposed development that would be authorised by the DCO. So in other words, the power of acquisition which we're seeking meets the condition in section 122.2a of the Planning Act 2008. Plot number 107 is needed for work number 1C in Schedule 1 to the DCO, which is the extension of the on-site pipe works, which will connect the generating station to these services. As you know, the generating station is to be fuelled by process gases produced from the steel-making process, so it's essential that the generating station can be connected to those services. And those pipes will run through plot 107. Plot 204 is required for the installation of the 66 kilovolt electrical cables, which will connect the new generating station to the existing on-site substations. These are essential in order that electricity can be exported from the generating station in times of surplus and can be imported at times of deficit. So the rights over those plots will not serve any other purpose. They are purely for the purposes of connecting the generating station and therefore are required for the development for which we're seeking development consent. We consider, moving on to agenda item 7, we consider the development for which we're seeking these rights will provide substantial public benefits. Our application includes evidence of those benefits, which includes a reduction in the amount of gas that is currently flared at the steelworks site and an improvement in overall emissions. There'll also be a reduction in the amount of electricity that needs to be imported to the site, thereby lessening demand on the national grid. And the generating station will enhance the competitiveness of the steelworks, ensuring a sustainable future for a major employer in the region, which provides an enormous contribution to the local economy. And the applicant submits that these benefits convincingly outweigh any private loss that Network Rail might suffer as a result of the rights being acquired over the railway line. There are existing rights which cross the railway line that runs through the steelworks site, and so there's nothing at this stage to suggest that those rights could be acquired or would interfere with the operation of the railway line, which is disused at the moment anyway. In any event, the order includes protective provisions which make the acquisition of those rights subject to Network Rail's consent in any event. That consent can't be unreasonably withheld, but that those protective provisions, as well as requiring consent, provide a number of assurances which would ensure that Network Rail's operations wouldn't be affected by the installation of apparatus above or below their railway line. So on that basis, we consider there is a compelling case in the public interest for the powers sought. Reprising our answer to question 202, which is about the extent of the land over which we're seeking rights, I think our answer to that question demonstrated that the extent of that land is no more than is reasonably required. In relation to plot 107, which is the utilities pipeworks, the length of the plot, if you like, across the railway line, that's obviously determined by the extent of Network Rail's ownership, which is the railway line that runs through the steelworks. The width of that plot is approximately 75 metres, and that's been determined to allow a degree of flexibility in relation to the final location of the main generating station elements. Not only do the pipes obviously need to connect into those elements, but the exact angle at which they will approach the generating station isn't yet confirmed and won't be confirmed until the detailed design stage. And obviously if the pipe enters at one angle, its point of entry at the other side of the plot will vary, and therefore those the limits of deviation of that plot, if you like, have been set to allow a degree of flexibility. Plot 204, which is the electrical cables connection. Again, the length of the plot across the railway line is determined by the extent of Network Rail's ownership. The width of that plot is approximately 10 metres, and again has been determined to allow a degree of flexibility as to the placement and the installation of the cables. That will be subject to small degrees of variation within the limits of deviation for work number two. The exact alignment of the cables won't be known until the trenches are dug and take account of local ground conditions and the presence of any existing services. In addition, the revision one of the DCO now provides that the maximum width of the cables as installed can be no more than 4 metres. So the extent of the rights that could be acquired for that cable installation would be no more than 4 metres in any event. In practice, through agreements with Network Rail, the pipes and the cables would be installed, and then the final easement would be taken to reflect the as-built alignment rather than the other way around. So again, that would ensure that the extent of the rights is proportionate and limited to what's needed. In terms of agenda item 8, the application explains that there was obviously a limited degree of choice as to the ultimate location of the generating station. A number of sites were considered as alternatives within the steelworks, and the proposed location was considered to be the best. There is no real alternative to crossing the railway line. The generating station needs to be situated relatively adjacent to the on-site steelmaking facilities, and the on-site substations are on the other side of the railway line, so there's really not much alternative but to cross the railway line with those services. The applicant did amend the alignment of the cables route as a result of the Section 42 consultation, where it was identified that part of the cables did run over a third-party land interest, and we subsequently amended the alignment of that cable to take those interests out of the order limits to avoid having to acquire rights over anyone else's land. And in practice, we are, as you know, seeking to acquire these rights voluntarily through agreement with Network Rail, and we expect that to be possible, but we consider that the compulsory powers are necessary in the event that, for whatever reason, an agreement can't be reached, the applicant isn't impeded from being able to carry out the authorised development.
Could I just cut in there, if I may? You referred to the railway lines as being disused. Have you any evidence to support that adjective as to when and how long?
I've worked there for over 10 years and never seen a railway. Bob, is any?
No.
I don't have formal evidence. Network Rail hasn't confirmed that, but that's the applicant's understanding.
Fair enough. Please proceed.
Also, in terms of alternatives, we have limited the rights we're seeking, or the powers we're seeking, to the acquisition of rights only. So again, we've considered this to be the minimal extent of the power, rather than seeking to require by outright acquisition of the freehold. So again, that was a point that was considered, and we settled on the acquisition of rights only. Agenda item 9. For a number of the reasons I've already mentioned, we consider that the proposed interference with Network Rail's land is proportionate and necessary. I explained earlier that the reasons why the land is required for the authorised development, and that we don't consider that any reasonable alternatives to crossing the railway line. We consider the rights sought are proportionate because they are limited both in extent and in the scope, so that they are easements only, no outright acquisition, and we consider those rights can be acquired without interfering the operation of the railway line, even in the event that it were used for railway operations.
Just on that subject, can you comment on whether there will be any effect on any commercial activity or business concerns as a consequence of the acquisition of the powers sought?
We don't believe there will be, no. As mentioned, there are existing crossings of the railway line. The pipework crossings we're seeking over plot 107 are at a location where there are existing pipes crossing mm-hmm. the railway line, and we simply propose to extend those pipes
I've seen them.
Over the railway line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also on agenda item 9, so we don't consider there's any potential for the sterilisation of coal reserves as a consequence of the acquisition of the powers sought. The presence or otherwise of coal reserves won't be finally determined until the final results of the ground investigation works are known. But in relation to these plots in particular, we consider the likelihood of any coal reserves being worked under the railway line would be very limited in any event, and the rights we're seeking would not change the position in that respect.
You advised me last week, 2 weeks ago at the DCO hearing, that the SI as progressed had not identified any coal reserves as yet, and you're not aware that situation has changed?
Correct.
Fine.
Are you happy for me to move
yes,
on to
please.
Agenda item 10?
Please do.
Our response to question 701 indicated that we don't have, at this stage, have a Network Rail's valuation for the rights that we're seeking. Network Rail have indicated they expect to provide that information shortly. It wasn't with the draft agreement that came through yesterday, but we are expecting that soon. In the absence of that information, our own valuation has considered that the cost of those rights is unlikely to exceed £50,000. And further, that the cost of any compensation for third parties, not affected by the acquisition as such, but by injurious affection, again, would be unlikely to exceed more than £50,000, which in the context of the scheme is a relatively small amount. And on that basis, we're not proposing at this stage any security for those costs.
Thank you. Could you possibly elucidate further on the use of your term shortly and soon?
In relation to which point, sir?
Agreeing the agreement with Netrail. I'm conscious they're not here.
Yeah. We haven't had a chance to review the agreement that arrived yesterday.
Okay.
I'll have to take instructions on that. I would expect it to be a fairly standard form of option and easement, and to provide for any works on or near the railway to be subject to an asset protection agreement, which is, I would expect, to be in the standard Network Rail form. Just looking at the timetable, sir, I think it's more likely that position could be agreed by deadline 5 rather than deadline 4.
I appreciate that. If you're able to provide any update as part of your written response after this meeting, I'd appreciate that. It would aid the process.
Understood.
Thank you. Now moving to agenda item 11, does any party have any business that they feel should have been addressed at this compulsory acquisition hearing? No, thank you. Moving to item 12, closing remarks. May I just remind you that the recording of this hearing will be placed on the portable pages of the National Infrastructure section of the Planning Portal website, and that you're required to provide summaries of the oral representations made at this hearing on or before deadline 4, which is Thursday the 5th of March. These should include, as appendices, any material mentioned and or committed to at this hearing. So if there are no other relevant points that any party wishes to make, I formally close this compulsory acquisition hearing. Thank you very much. What I propose now, ladies and gentlemen, is a short adjournment, and then we'll proceed with the issue specific on environmental and HRA matters. Thank you very much.